This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 1604. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, primarily shortwave. On this edition, recorded February 16th, Argentina, Australia, Belarus, Brazil, Canada, France, Gabon, Germany, Indonesia, Iran, Korea, Laos, Madagascar, Myanmar, New Zealand, Nigeria, Oklahoma, Pakistan, Papua New Guinea, Peru, Philippines, Rwanda, Taiwan, Tajikistan, UK, USA, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. Last week we had news that RAI, the external service from Argentina, was back on the air after some transmitter problems, but they were still having other problems, at least for the German service, and probably applying to all the others. Via Wolfgang Büschel, a message in reply to one of their German listeners, says, "The continued existence of RAI is not at risk. We only have a technical problem in the studio. We're not in a position to record the full program, but we have started to record the news in German. You will only be receiving the news in the next few days, and lots of music." That was a reply as of February 9th by Ryan Brown of the German service to Heiko Pries in Germany. Also last week we had a report that Belarus was no longer being heard on 6080, but Ola Alm in Sweden says he did hear it February 14th, just after 1500, with a buzzy carrier and program in parallel with Longwave 279, where the modulation was also low. Later he lost 6080 in the co-channel interference, and not audible at that time was 11730. Yet another follow-up to last week, when we said there was good news from Brazil that a new shortwave transmitter was in the works this year for Radio Nacional da Amazonia. But this week, we have news from Celio Mais in Brazil that Radio Senado is no longer on shortwave since the 7th of February. It was on 5990. He says the reason is that the contract of Radio Senado with EBC, which provided a shortwave transmitter, was not renewed. It had been on shortwave for 12 years, and there is no provision for returning, which depends on understandings between the managements of the Legislative House and EBC, and Celio says it's a shame. We agree, since it was well heard also in North America. Ralph Perry in Illinois says, "What an unpleasant surprise. I'm going to miss it. For the DXing Night Owls, Radio Senado could always be counted on for a strong signal and pleasant music around 0900 UT. Regardless of how the bands were doing on any given morning, it was always there as a friendly visitor. I was just listening to them a week or so ago with their special birthday and anniversary announcements. Quite a turnabout in events." Yet another medium wave closed down in Canada has been expected for some time, but now there is an official date. Andy Reid in Ontario forwards an item from RadioWest.ca that Village 900 in Victoria, B.C., CKMO, will leave the air on March 4th. But they are embracing evolution and expect to continue to be heard via webcasts at www.villagenow.net. Ron Howard, San Francisco at Ocean Beach, California, says, "During February, I've been hearing CFVP Calgary, Alberta, 6030 semi-regularly from about 1215 to 1255 UT, relaying CKMX AM 1060, but it mixes with China's CNR1, also on 6030. CFVP plays country and western songs with clear IDs, such as Southern Alberta Born and Raised, Classic Country AM 1060. It's rather surprising how well their 100 watts is doing against CNR1's 100,000 watts. And thanks to Harold Sellers for a very nice QSL card. He had been checking the frequency for possible reception of Myanmar, which has been reported here lately, but he has not been hearing it yet." Andy Reid reports that RCI's flagship program, The Link, devoted its Monday, February 13th episode to World Radio Day, including a history of radio in Canada and a roundtable on the future of radio. In case you missed it, as I did, you can hear it on the Internet. Previous programs are archived at www.rcinet.ca/English/program/the-link/home/, as Alan Pennington, British CX Club, also points out. Click on the calendar for 13 February. Via the Media Network blog, an AFP report translated by Google says, the merger of Radio France International and France 24 Television has been completed. Extraordinary general meetings of RFI, its Arabic subsidiary, and AEF have endorsed the merger. It was announced on February 14th. AEF said this allows the creation of an official French broadcasting group of international dimensions after more than 2 years of conflict and a procedural battle conducted by the RFI unions against the merger. The General Assembly of the AEF, the holding company, in fact consists of one person, its CEO, Alain de Pouzelac, who represents the sole shareholder, the state. With the merger, a new page opens, the constitution of a major international audiovisual group that is powerful and competitive, reads the statement of AEF, RFI, France 24, and Monte Carlo Dualia. The principle of creating the AEF was decided by President Sarkozy in 2009, but the process was punctuated by repeated strikes at RFI, as some of the employees were opposed to a merger with France 24 and relocation of the radio station. A redundancy plan as part of the merger was opened in early January, and some 102 applications for voluntary redundancy had been received by early February. The plan calls for a total of 126 job cuts at RFI, France 24, and Monte Carlo Dualia. In a letter to Prime Minister François Fillon, RFI trade unions had denounced the second round of redundancies launched by the management, with 126 further positions eliminated, in addition to the 206 that were already in the plan of 2009. Meanwhile, as for RFI on shortwave, I ran across a transmitter cutting on and off rapidly with some modulation very briefly when it was on 15300 that same day, February 14th, around 1530 UT. Soon I could tell it was indeed in French, and no doubt they were playing around with a transmitter at Issoudun, since it's only supposed to be on the air, at a curtailed schedule of 06 to 09, 12 to 13, and 17 to 19 UT, according to the WRTH update. Last week we mentioned that Africa No. 1, Gabon, had reactivated on 9580, strangely enough, coinciding with a major football tournament in Gabon itself. This ended on February 12th. Wolfgang Büscher was hearing the final game on 9580 at 1925 UT. It was also being carried on some frequencies of the BBC, 9430, according to Matti Ponkamo in Finland. And John Filiozzi in New York was hearing it on 9915 and 12095. But the question was whether Africa No. 1 would remain on shortwave afterwards. Well, it was still going. February 14th, it signed on around 0630. Although the handbook had showed its full schedule was supposed to be from 05 until 23. Another once-a-year broadcast special to North America is imminent from the Frisians in Germany. Remember Radio Imrang? That's O-Umlaut, O-Umlaut, M-R-A-N-G. It's been happening every year on the 21st of February, often without any advance publicity, so I made sure to find out about this year, and it's confirmed by Walter Brodowski of transmission provider MBR as occurring again this year. February 21st, which is Tuesday, between 16 and 17 UT, and it happens to be on the same frequency as last year, 15215 via Wertachtel. Last year, I don't think there was much of anything in English, although there had been previous years. It's, of course, to promote the Frisian language and culture and reach their expatriates, especially in North America. Walter says it'll be 500 kilowatts, azimuth 300 degrees for eastern North America and parts of Western Europe. Ivo Ivanov says he'll be with Radio Bulgaria for a few more months, so he will be able to continue providing his excellent summary of schedule updates called DX Mix News. As of February 13th, some changes for Deutsche Welle include one of their English frequencies at 05 to 06. 11800 replaces 9810. Of course, like all the remaining English broadcasts, it's from Rwanda. The Voice of Indonesia has made another of its big switches of 1 kilohertz. Ron Howard in California reports it on 9525.00, February 13th at 10:36 in English. He said, have they ever been on the exact frequency before? If so, it's rare. They had been just a few hertz below 9526 for many months, and before that, we remember they were a few hertz below 9525. And in fact, when I checked February 15th during what was presumably Indonesian hour at 1421, I could tell they were, again, just a shade below 9525, but instead of 9526. This change, of course, has an effect on the interference they cause and suffer from. But does it mean they've actually changed from one transmitter to another? If so, it has not improved reception at all. Still a poor signal and often just barely modulated. Matsunori Ishidai, who tracks Indonesian shortwave every day, says the move actually occurred on February 10th. An article in Radio World dated February 8th by James Careless, sent on to us by Mike Terry, is headlined, Broadcasters Complain About Iran's Signal Jamming. Five major international broadcasters, Voice of America, BBC, Deutsche Welle, AEF, France, as I was just mentioning, and Radio Netherlands, have called on Iran to stop jamming radio and TV signals targeted at that country. Jan Hoek, Radio Netherlands Director General, says it's been going on intermittently for at least 2 years. Stations affected have been VOA's Persian Network, RFERL's Radio Farda, and Radio Sawa, the BBC's Persian TV channel, and Deutsche Welle. On occasions, RNW's Dutch TV channel and Radio Sawa that use subcarriers on the same satellite transponder have been affected, even though they have no broadcasts aimed at Iran. Yes, this is all about satellite jamming. As far as I know, there is no Iranian jamming on shortwave, except maybe some of the Kurdish clandestines. Ron Howard in California says jamming by North Korea has been rather erratic lately. It's been missing from a number of transmissions, allowing clandestines from South Korea to be heard in the clear, and other stations who were collaterally damaged. There had been jamming on 6230, for instance, but that was missing, allowing VMW, the Australian weather station on SSB, to be heard from 1243 until sign-off at 1251 on February 10th. And I also heard it clear of jamming 1 hour later. However, 24 hours later, the jamming was back, totally obliterating the poor Australian. Furthermore, I heard something in Korean on a new clear frequency, 6300, February 13th at 11:37. According to the ALCI listing, it's a new frequency and time for MND Radio, Ministry of National Defense, from the south to the north since February 9th, for 50 minutes at 06 and 11 UT with 100 kilowatts. Most logs on 6130 of Lao National Radio are around 1200 UT when they play their 7 p.m. chimes. But here are some logs at later hours. From Illinois, Ralph Perry was listening February 11th from 1255 UT with Lao vocals. The music ran right through the top of that hour with no time signal or chimes, and then some disco-type electronic beat music, and perhaps a news summary. On February 13th, a Another report from Ron Howard in California, who can listen even later at 1420 UT with Indigenous Songs. However, it's sad to say they've dropped their interesting segments at 1415 to 1420. In past years, they had English and Laotian language lessons on Monday, Tuesday, and sometimes Friday and Saturday, French on Wednesday and Thursday, but now they're just playing local music. The media magazine you monitor with your mind, World of Radio, number 1604. You can read much more about the stories we mentioned briefly in the source for this program, DX Listening Digest, number 12-07, via worldofradio.org. Our thanks this week for financial support from Tomoaki Waigai, a Japanese listener who sent a donation in the mail to P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702, USA. One may also contribute via PayPal to WORADIO at yahoo.com. More trouble for the Madagascar relay of Radio Netherlands, now carrying several other stations. On the Media Network blog, February 14th, Andy Sinnott says, today a Category 4 tropical cyclone, Giovanna, crossed Madagascar. The road from the capital city to our relay station is a mud stream, and lower parts of the island are flooded. Schools and businesses are closed. First reports mention a lot of damage. We lost the roofs from two small buildings, including the high voltage area. This forced us to close down the operation completely because of the massive rain showers. Four antennas and two satellite dishes are damaged and need to be repaired. The transmitter building was not damaged, and luckily none of our team was injured. Our offices in Tantananarivo in Ivandri had some damage, and we lost our wireless link from the office to the station. Communication with the station is difficult. We expect to assess the damage and start repairing the next day. And he posted some photos of the damage on the Media Network blog. We've been in contact with all clients. IBB, Deutsche Welle, and Vatican will try to cover from their own sites while Madagascar was off the air. I did, however, hear an NHK relay in Hindi at 1430 UT, February 15th, still on 15720, and they confirmed that is still from the Madagascar relay. Before this happened, Kim Andrew Elliott wrote on his blog, will the new World Christian Broadcasting Shortwave Facility in Madagascar, perhaps the last major shortwave broadcast facility to be built anywhere in the world, will it be on the air before the Radio Netherlands shortwave relay in Madagascar goes off the air, which was planned for later this year? Of course, I was wondering whether there was any damage at Madagascar World Voice, where the transmitters have not yet been installed, but the antennas have been ready for some time. A prompt reply from Charles H. Caudill, CEO of World Christian Broadcasting, says, we received no damage to the MWV facility in Mahajanga. It appears we were right on the edge of the cyclone. We had some wind and rain, but nothing like the intensity experienced in Antananarivo. It's disturbing to see pictures of all the damage to RNW. It's a blessing that no one was hurt. Thanks for asking about MWV. I also wondered whether now Radio Netherlands would decide just to quit rather than pour more money into repairing the facility. Andy Sinnott replied, I imagine insurance will pay for repairs. We can't just close down suddenly because we have a duty of care to our staff in Madagascar. They're very hardworking and will get the station fully operational again very quickly. A reminder to keep monitoring the new frequency from Myanmar, 7110, between 1030 and 1430 UT, and try to figure out whether it's from one of the two national capitals or from the capital of Rakhine State, as the name would imply, which is on the west coast. February 11th from 1450, for an hour until 1550 UT, I was surprised to find a good signal from Radio New Zealand on 15720, relaying Radio New Zealand National. It's not supposed to be on that frequency at all during that hour, but instead 5950. And the frequency change announcement said the next one would be 9765, where it was also inaudible. I suppose it was another mess up in their computer programming for transmitter frequency changes. Another missing frequency is 7275 from FRCN Abuja, Nigeria. We had been able to hear traces of it, but barely modulated, just after Tunisia closes down the same frequency at 0629. But I've been checking for it every night, February 12th, 13th, 14th, and 15th, and hearing no trace of it. One less 50-kilowatt station putting out IBOC noise polluting the AM band. KFAQ 1170 in Tulsa, first noted by Bruce Winkleman there, without IBOC on February 9th. And as of February 13th, I find it still IBOC-free. We hope it's permanent. Numerous press reports out of Pakistan about a new 100-kilowatt high-powered medium-wave transmitter inaugurated by Radio Pakistan at a place called Turbat. It was a Nautel transmitter made in Canada. Turbat is on the coast of Balochistan on the Gulf of Oman. But none of these stories ever mention the frequency. The only one listed for that place previously was low power on 1584. Not a good place for a new high-power transmitter. It remained for Bruce Conti of the National Radio Club to contact Radio Pakistan directly and ask them, what's the frequency, Kenneth? I don't think he actually said that, but they did promptly reply. It is 981 kilohertz. Ron Howard notes that one of the Papua New Guinea stations, 3385 NBC East New Britain, ends their broadcasting day when a timer automatically turns off the transmitter. For a long time, that had been set at 1224 UT. But now they suddenly go off the air at a new time, 1237, as noted February 6th, 9th, 10th, and 14th. That makes me wonder if the exact cutoff time and the change in it are based on precise computations of electricity costs and the station's budget. Ralph Perry in Illinois continues to hear the new Peruvian just about every morning he tries, Aroma Cafe Radio, 10 hertz below 6060. The sign on time varies around 1100 UT, and then there's less than half an hour to hear it before China takes over the frequency. I was pleased to hear it myself for the first time, February 13th at 1112. Although it was quite weak, I could make out some music and talk. China did come on just before 11:25, but I could still hear the Peruvian underneath and caught a time check in Spanish matching the time in Peru, so I know I must have heard it. By the way, China also identifies in Spanish at 11:30 as Radio Internacional de China, even though it's the Tagalog broadcast. After more than 3 months, it's finally happened. The WYFR relays of Radio Taiwan International getting back to their proper languages. For the first time on February 10th at 0640, 6875 was in Spanish instead of German as it had been since November 2nd. Dan Elye at Okeechobee told me on February 10th, RTI schedule should be back on track and shortly those of WYFR as well. We're finally getting the last bugs out of our program automation system. There may be a few glitches still to be worked out, but the main functions are rolling. It's been a strange and widespread combination of hardware and software issues spread throughout the 30 to 40 computers that make up the overall system. According to the Hewlett-Packard techs who helped with one aspect of the failure, our system was maliciously hacked, but other issues played into the total crash as well. On 7245, I usually hear Mauritania signing on sometime after 0600, but never a bit of Voice of Tajik, which is supposedly on the same frequency for very long hours. I was wondering if anyone else is hearing Tajikistan. Tudor Vidianu in Romania says February 14th at 11:55, I think it was the Hindi broadcast of Voice of Tajik, but Voice of Turkey in Bulgarian took over the frequency at 1200. Noel Green in England says, I think I've been listening to Tajikistan on 7245 from around 1545. However, it too was lost when Romania switched their digital racket on at 15:58. Although he's not on the minute-by-minute program schedule of AFN, I was pleased to run across the wickedly pointed political commentaries of Jim Hightower on 7811 USB from Florida, both February 14th and 15th, for 2 minutes at 0644 UT. On February 13th, the Broadcasting Board of Governors published its budget request for the next fiscal year. It's a 161-page PDF document, but I picked out some of the most significant parts and put them in DX Listening Digest 12-07. Now, these are requests, nothing definite yet. But some of the headlines read, realign BBG shortwave and medium-wave transmissions, including Vietnamese and Lao Radio Free Asia shortwave will be reduced, as well as Khmer from RFA. Taking all transmission and language service reductions into account, the request proposes to discontinue use of shortwave and medium-wave except for these countries, Cuba, China, North Korea, Burma, Iran, Tibet, Uyghur, as if it's a country, the Afghan-Pakistan border region, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Belarus, Russian to the Caucasus, Russian in general, Turkmen, Khmer, and Africa in general. Also, close the obsolete Poro transmission facility, that's the megawatt in the Philippines, on 1170 kilohertz, discontinuing 10 positions. As a matter of fact, Brian Clark, visiting Singapore, was not hearing it at all for several nights he was checking, so maybe it's already been closed. Also, a proposal to discontinue VOA broadcasts in Cantonese, which they say have negligible impact, but Radio Free Asia would continue in Cantonese. Eliminate the platform of Aero Marti, that is the airborne relays of TV Marti to Cuba. And one more, consolidate Radio Free Iraq with Radio Sawa. I searched on the word Greenville and found it nowhere in the document, nor the name Murrow, which is the official name of the Greenville transmitter site. This could be good news that they're not planning to do away with it. On the other hand, it could come under the heading, like Poro Philippines, as one of its so-called less effective facilities, as Kai Ludwig points out. One more item from Andy Sinnott on the Media Network blog. A plan to consolidate and reorganize Central News and English divisions to save over $5 million. Major cuts in the VOA newsroom. My source in Washington says the plan contains some of the most devastating cuts to VOA's Central News operation in decades, impacting English language reporters along with multimedia staff. I've noticed WWRB missing from 50/50, replaced by a big utility blob. Propagation outlook from Boulder, issued February 14th. A and K indices 5 and 2, or 8 and 3. Very little change. Solar flux from 105 to a peak of 115, February 22nd to 26th. That's World of Radio 1604. I'm Glenn Hauser.